The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parasha is Parashas Kisove. In the Parasha, we have what is known as the Techoches, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Klal Yisrael, or Moshe Rabbeinu, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells to Klal Yisrael what will happen if you listen to the mitzvahs, the brachos, and what will happen if you do not listen to the mitzvahs, heaven forbid the klolos. And in great detail and elaboration, he tells of what will happen to Klal Yisrael in such an instance that they will be exiled from their land, they will be scattered throughout the nations, they will be oppressed if they do not do tshuva. When they will do tshuva, then they will come back to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them back. Since it's Elul now, and it's coming close to Rosh Hashanah, so let's go into this concept of tshuva and Ma'asim Tovim, tshuva, repentance and good deeds, a little more. There's a Mishnah Masechta Oveis, which the Mishnah tells us in Perek Daled, Mishnah Yud Ches. Not all the numbers of the Mishnais are the same in every text. It's Yud Ches, or approximately Yud Ches. Hu haya emer. He would say, this refers to Rabbi Yaakov, Yofisho achas b'tshuva ma'asim tovim b'ilam hazeh, that 1 hour. Whenever it states Shor Achas, it doesn't necessarily mean 1 hour, but it means one unit of time, even a very small unit of time. That a small unit of time, which is taken, which is used for tshuva, repentance, Ma'asim Tovim, in good deeds, by Lamazeh in this world, is better, Mikol Chayei Olam Haba, is better than all of the lives, the entire existence of the world to come. And a small amount of time of a keres ruach. A keres ruach is a tainug, an enjoyment in the world to come, is better than all of the existence, all of the life of this world. So what is Rabbi Yaakov saying? He's saying that this world is better than the next world, if it's used for tshuva and ma'asim tovim, repentance and good deeds. And he says the next world is better than this world, because there the enjoyment of the next world, the enjoyment of this world cannot compare at all to this. All of the enjoyment of this world cannot compare at all to the smallest enjoyment of the next world. This is what Rabbi Yaakov tells us. Now we can ask two questions on this. Firstly, in the beginning of his statement, he says that this world is better than the next world. At the end of his statement, he comes to say that the next world is better than this world. Well, which is better? A second question we can ask is that this world is a physical world. The next world is a bilti gashmi. It's a non-physical world. It's a totally spiritual world. So you cannot compare them. So how is it possible to say that this one is better than that one, or that one is better than this, this one is a little better, much better? That's by two things which have some common denominator, and you can compare one to the other. For example, you can compare two apples are more than one. But if you're comparing apples to grain, we're speaking here of two things which are totally different. One is physical, one is spiritual. So what does it mean that this one is better than that one, and that one is better than this one? Now the simple meaning in the statement of Rabbi Yaakov is he's telling us as follows. He's saying that from one aspect this world is better than the next, and from a different aspect the next world is better than this. From the aspect of Avedis Hashem, of doing mitzvahs for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serving Hashem, this world is far better. From the aspect of reward, the other world is far better. Why? Because in the Torah it states that you shall do the mitzvahs today. And the Gemara in Masechet Aveda Zora, Nav Gimel Amar Aleph, tells us, what does it mean that you shall do the mitzvahs today? Hayem la'aseisem v'lemocha la'aseisem. You shall do mitzvahs today and tomorrow. It means Hayem la'aseisem v'lemocha le'kabel schar. That today is the time for doing. Tomorrow is the time for receiving reward. This is an important concept. Doing is today, not reward. Receiving reward, that's tomorrow, not for doing. What does this mean? The only time that a person can achieve mitzvahs, the only time that a person can serve the Almighty with mitzvahs in Torah that we have, through his own bechira, through his own free choice, is only in this world. Only in this world. In the next world, that will be impossible. Because the next world is known as Olam HaEmes, the world of truth. And in the world of truth, the truth will be so blatant that there will be no area for bechira, for free choice. There will be nothing to choose from. There will not be tevara. Like we learn in the Parsha, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I placed before you brocha and klola, blessing and curse, good and evil, ubacharto b'chaim, you shall choose life and death, you shall choose what's right. That's only in this world that the word olam comes from the word helam, to means to conceal. In this world, the right and wrong is concealed. And therefore, through great struggle and through great effort, only in this way can a person achieve. So therefore, the opportunity to achieve mitzvahs is only in this world. Reward is not for this world, because reward is given after a person achieves. The next world is just the opposite. That's the world of reward. And it's not the world of achievement, because whatever the person has to achieve, he has to achieve in this world, not in the next. So this is what he is telling us. He's saying, this world is greater than the next world from the aspect that the smallest amount of tshuva and masim tovim is going to bring you what you can never get in the next world. And therefore it's greater than kol chai elam abo, than the whole next world. But from the other aspect, when it comes to the keres ruach, the reward, the enjoyment of the next world is greater than kol chai elam hazeah, all of the life, all of the enjoyment in this world. And why is he telling us this? Two reasons. Firstly, that a person should have his perspectives proper perspectives. He should see straight. Many people want this world for reward, and they want to achieve in the next world. It's not like that. If you want to achieve, you have to do it now. You won't be able to do it later. If you want reward, that's not for now. That's for later. So in order that we should have our perspectives proper. And secondly, is that a person should learn to be mechavev, to endear to himself both worlds. He must not have an attitude that this world is worthless. What is this world? It's a lowly, earthly, physical life. And look at it with disgust and feel that the only greatness in the world is the life beyond. Or some people, to the contrary, they're not interested in the life beyond. They're only interested in this world. Now, he's teaching you that a person must give great attention and great endearment to both worlds, because both worlds have something invaluable to offer him. This is the world to do, and the next world is the world to receive. And this is like Rashi tells us here on the Mishnah. He says that we should learn not to be nishoyish min apronius. A person shouldn't become depressed in this world when he sees all of the difficulties. Rashi says, the fisha ein layla odem hano klum mipnei tzoris v'roos habos alov. Many times people have little enjoyment in this world because of the constant sorrows and difficulties. V'yeim hamisa shemishori mimenu. And he's afraid always of the day of death. So therefore, he shouldn't become depressed, because this world is for the next world. The reward will be in the next world. And he shouldn't look for his reward in this world. And on the other hand, he should be belated. He should be uplifted. Uplifted to know that in this world he has an opportunity that he'll never have again. So this is the simple meaning of this Mishnah. And in this vein, we find that we find many statements from the Chazal or from our great Rabbonim, how dear they held this world. Like the Vilna Gaon used to say, when he was dying, he started to weep. They asked him, why are you weeping? What do you have to weep for? You have such a great world beyond. See, he would say he's weeping because he's leaving such a wonderful world. They asked him, why is this world so wonderful? He said, because for a small amount of money, you can go and buy chitzis. Or you can buy yourself matzah, or an esrog, or a mezuzah. And with that, you keda elam abo. That you acquire the next world. Endless reward. He says, and where else can you do that? Only in this world. With a little effort and a little money, you can make an investment that is endless, infinite, eternal. And where can you do that? Only in this world. That will be impossible to do in the next world. And therefore he's weeping that he's leaving such a wonderful world. The Chofetz Chaim Zichreinu Livracha used to say that when he heard that in America they said that time is money, time is very valuable because with time you can make money. So he said, this is only the way empty people can talk. Time is so valuable because you can make money. He says they should say differently, that money is so valuable because you can make time. That not time is used to acquire money. What is money? Money is something which is earthly that comes from this world and you leave in this world. The value of time is not because you can acquire money with it. Time is 1,000 times more valuable than money. You don't use gold to buy silver. You use silver to buy gold. The value of money is that with that you can acquire time. And if you acquire time, you've acquired life. What is life? Life, the essence of life, is the time that was allocated to a man in this world. Every minute that he breathes in this world is another minute of life which was allocated to him on earth. So money, with money you can sometimes acquire more life, more time. You can, with money sometimes you can buy yourself more healthy food. You can buy yourself better medical treatment. You could buy yourself conveniences that will do things for you and allow you more time to use in better ways. So money is acquiring for you, for yourself, time on this earth. And with time, you can buy the next world. So he says, what kind of empty people, when he heard of that? He says, you see, he said, this gave them a description of what America was. He says, what kind of empty people, he says, can coin a phrase as guilt is sight. Say, or sight is guilt. Time is money. It shows you their values. That their whole concept of time is because they can, with the time, they can get more gold. Time is 1,000 times more valuable than gold. Use the gold to acquire time, because time is the essence of life, and with life you have opportunity in this world to acquire an internal world, a world of endless reward. So therefore, the Tana is teaching us this. That in this world where you have the opportunity of tshuva and maisim tovim, so then it's better than all of the life in the next world, because you can do here what you could not do in the entire next world. But from the other aspect, yofi shoachas shel keres ruach ba'olam habo, the smallest enjoyment, a keres ruach is a small enjoyment. So the smallest enjoyment in the next world, when it comes to tanug, enjoyment is greater than all of the enjoyment in this world. From here, the perspective, the proper perspective of this world means what then? It means opportunity. This world is the world of opportunity. An opportunity that is given to a man only once, and only for the time that he's here. And it's in his hands if he wants to utilize it or if he wants to waste it. The opportunity is given. And as long as a man lives, he has that opportunity. That's why when a person dies, so we tell him, Ein locha od b'chelak ha-mitzvahs. You have no part anymore in mitzvahs. States amazing, chofshi min ha-mitzvahs. You have no more portion in mitzvahs. Why? Is he divorced from Torah? The opportunity to do this he doesn't have. We can still ask, though, according to this interpretation, that it's still, we're comparing which world is better. And it's difficult to take two items which are totally different from each other. They have nothing in common whatsoever. One is physical and one is spiritual, and compare them together. Secondly, why does the Mishnah have to write tshuva? It says this is a world where you can do tshuva in deeds. What does tshuva come into it for? This is the world where a person has an opportunity to do mitzvahs. So she tells us this is the olam hamaisa. This is the world of doing. See, tshuva shouldn't be in this Mishnah. We can go deeper into what Reb Yaakov is telling us. This is, the Baral explains this in his Pirush on Masechta Ovis. He says as follows. Firstly, we must realize that these two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo, are totally contrary to each other. And they have nothing in common with each other. One is physical, an earthly world, a gashmi. The other is a spiritual world. It's bilti gashmi, it's nivdul. It has nothing to do with the physical world. And they are totally contrary to each other. And what one has, the other does not. And what the other has, this one doesn't. And the Tana is teaching us not what is better, but one has a mila, one has a level that the other one does not possess. And the other one has a level that this one does not possess. And in order to understand this better, we must go to the previous Mishnah, which is also a statement by Rabbi Yaakov, in which he says, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ha'olam hazeh deimeh, the praise door, bifnei ha'ilam abo. This world is like an antechamber before the next world. Haskin atzmecho bepraise door. You must prepare yourself in the antechamber. Kedei shetikoneis letraklen, in order that you may enter into the palace. This world, Rashi tells us, is like the chotzer lifnei shara melech. This world is like the room, the waiting room, right before we come into the king's chambers. And therefore a person must prepare himself in the waiting room before he enters into the king's chambers. Now here, Rabbi Yaakov is teaching as follows. He's telling us the very essence of these worlds. The essence of this world is a journey. The essence of the next world is the destination. A person is going somewhere. For example, he wants to go see a king. So he goes. So they let him into the capital city and they bring him in to the outer chambers of the palace, and he's escorted into the inner chambers of the palace, and finally he comes to the anteroom right outside the king's chambers. And all of this time, what was he doing? He was journeying to his destination. Once he's let into the king's chambers, there the journey has ended. He has come to his destination. The essence of this world is a derech. It's a journey. The essence of the next world is the destination, is the objective, is the home where the person was going to. Now, when a person is on a journey, then there is always movement, tenua. He's always moving, because he's moving from one place to another. So there's always movement. There is always tircho. There's always effort. You cannot go on a journey without being involved in effort. There is amul, melus, there's labor. There's constant shinui, change. Because when a person journeys, he travels. He travels from one place to another. So this is the nature of a journey. Therefore, this is the nature of this world. If this world is but a journey, then this is the nature of this world. This is a world of omel, of labor. This is a world of tenua, of constant movement. A world of tircho, of constant effort. And a world of shinui, of constant change. When a person reaches his destination, then the journey is ended. Travel's finished. He's come to where he wanted to go. So what do we find then? Then he's noch. He stops. There's menucha. He's noch mitenu ase. He's noch min aderech. He rests from the travel. So then he stops. So there's the concept of menucha. Menucha, which actually comes from the word noch, to stop, is just the opposite of everything that we said. When there's menucha, there's no movement. When there's menucha, there's no travel. There's no change. There's no labor. There's no tircho. There's no effort. There's no labor. So this world is the essence of a journey, and therefore it has the nature of a journey of a derech. And the next world is the essence of the destination, and therefore it has the nature of menucha, where everything stops. And the destination, the nature of a destination is totally contrary to the nature of a journey, and vice versa. And so is the nature of this world totally contrary to the nature of the next world. And this is why the Chazal tell us that the Sheish Yishimei Breishis, the 6 days which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that's day Meleilam Hazeh. That's like this world. Because every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu labored, every day there was change, there was chidush, something new every day. And on Shabbos, though, that the Chazal tell us is Me'ein Eilam Habor. That's a little window into the world to come. Because on Shabbos it says, Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i Mikom Malachtei Asher Osa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished all of his work. He finished all of his labor. He reached his objective. He reached his destination. And he rested. Ba Shabbos, ba Menucha. Came Shabbos, came Menucha. Everything was complete. So there was nothing more to strive for. There was nothing more to do, labor for. Therefore there was Menucha. It stopped. The world stopped. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Also in Masechet Aveda Zora, in the beginning, and of Gimel. Misha Torach be'erev Shabbos, Yechel b'Shabbos. Whoever labors erev Shabbos, he'll have what to eat on Shabbos. Misha Lei Torach be'erev Shabbos, Lei Yechel b'Shabbos. Whoever doesn't labor erev Shabbos won't have what to eat on Shabbos. Because this is the world of labor and to do and achieve, while the other world is not. The other world is the destination where everything has stopped. Now, in the physical world, we find two things in particular in the physical world. And this is a nature of something which is physical. One is constant change. We've spoken about this before, but if a person examines the world, if he studies history, and if you're interested in trying to forecast things, be it in economics, or be it in politics, or be it in history, foreign relations, or whatever it might be, or be it in weather, you might not always be successful in discovering patterns and trends, and discovering proper forecasts. But one thing you will always notice, and that is that everything changes. To forecast exactly how it will change, or to recognize a pattern or a trend how it did change, that might be difficult. But one thing is clear, it's always changing. History is always changing. Actually, history is just the writings of the changes of the world. Economics is always changing. Politics is always changing. Weather is always changing. The reason for this is because that's the nature of the physical world. Nature of the physical world is change. Constant change. That's one principle. A second principle that we find in the physical world, and that is that we see in this world things always grow. They always grow and they always strive for progress. A few weeks ago we gave a shir on Shabbos that there's a world which is known as the Olam HaEmtzoi, the middle world. And that refers to the heavens. In the heavens are all of the celestial beings. There's the stars and the moon and the sun and so forth. There the Chazal tell us that that's not a world of growth. Exactly the way they are to be, that's how they are created. And they will remain that way until the time comes when they are no longer needed to be that way. The sun wasn't created as a little ball of fire and every day it grows larger. Nor the moon, nor the stars. But the whole solar system was created exactly the way it was supposed to be at full growth. And it remains that way until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will recall it. Contrary to the very nature of our world. Our world, everything comes into this world in an immature state. Be it plants, trees, animals, insects, people. And they go through a process of growth. And then they reach a maturity. And then eventually there's a decline. So another principle in the nature of this physical world is where it constantly is striving for a progress. It constantly seeks more growth. It constantly seeks to fulfill itself more. And it's not born in a fulfilled state. It's not born in a total state. But it constantly strives for a state of totality. See, this is the nature of this world. Both of these natures are very similar to the derech, to a person on a journey. A person on a journey is constantly changing from one place to the other, and he's constantly striving for something. He's headed for some objective. In the world to come, will be the opposite. There will be no change. The way a person comes into the world to come, that's how he's going to be. There'll be no change. And there'll be no further growth or further striving for a greater totality. That's this world, not next world. Because next world is the world of Menucha, where everything that he has gained or everything that he has covered in his journey, he already has covered. Everything he wanted to cover, or he was able to cover, he already covered. And now he's reached his destination, and now he stops. So it will be a situation of stoppage. Menucha. So therefore, these two worlds are contrary to each other. Now, in the Mishnah, the Tana of Yaakov mentions two things about this world: tshuva and masim tovim. What he's telling us is that in this world is possible tshuva and masim tovim, but only in this world, not in the next world. This is an exercise that can be achieved only in this world. Why? Because what is tshuva? Tshuva is change. The essence of tshuva is to change. A person does some has a bad quality in himself. A person does something bad. A person is in the wrong direction. Tshuva is the ability to change. He turns himself around to a good direction. He rectifies what he did wrong. Or he improves a bad quality. So tshuva is change. Tshuva is possible in this world only because this is a physical world, because it's a world which allows change. If you were in a world which was constant, there couldn't be any possibility of tshuva. For example, a theoretical example, in the world of the solar system, there couldn't be any possibility of improvement, because there's no possibility of change. So tshuva is possible in this world only because it's a physical world. Therefore, he mentions in this world is tshuva. In the next world will be impossible tshuva, because that's a constant world. That's a world without change. So how can someone change himself? How can someone change directions? If you want to change directions, that's while you're traveling. But once you've reached your destination, there can't be any change of directions. So this is why he mentions tshuva. Then he mentions ma'asim tovim. Ma'asim tovim are the deeds of people. The deeds of people, we usually do not relate them so strongly with the person himself. We say people have deeds, but we don't link them so directly with the people themselves. But this is a false concept. The Chazal tell us, what are the Maisim Tovim? An example in the beginning of Parshas Noach. The Torah says, Elu told this Noach, Noach is Sadik Tomim Hoya B'dei Reisov. These are the generations of Noach. Toldus means the seed. This is the seed. This is the generations. These are the offsprings of Noach. And then it tells us, Noach was a righteous, perfect man in his generation. So the question is asked, Torah starts out by telling us, what is the seed? What are the generations? The offspring of Noach. And then it says he was a righteous man and a perfect man. So Rashi brings, L'lamdecho she'ikr toldiseim shel tzaddikim maisim tevim. The seed of man, the main seed of man, the main offsprings of man are not his children. They are his deeds. And therefore it's telling us, these are the deeds of Noach. These are the generations, the offsprings of Noach, that he was a righteous and perfect man in his generation. Now this is a new concept. We know that children have a direct bond with the parents. They are a continuation of the parent. But we are not accustomed to look at the actions of the people as if they have a direct bond with the person. This is not true. The actions of the people are bonded to the people themselves. And why? Because the actions of people are their fruit. And just like the fruit of a tree are the continuity of the tree, they have a bond to the tree themselves. And just like the children of parents are the fruit of the parents, the fruit of man are his deeds, are his achievements. So therefore, what he does, these are his fruits. Whatever he does in this world, this is his growth. A tree has fruit, so the tree is growing. A parent has children, he's growing. But the greatest growth of man are his deeds. Through his deeds, it would be, if we could see it spiritually, it would be like a tree which grows and grows and grows. This is growth. Growth of a man is measured at his highest level through his deeds. Every additional deed that he does is a further growth, is a further perfection, a further totality in him. Now, this also, Maisim Tovim, is something which can be only in this world. Because as we mentioned, that one of the natures of this world, it's a world of growth. Things that come into this world do not come in full grown and do not remain that way. They come in but half grown. They come in as a seed. They come in at the smallest minute level in order to grow in this world. In other words, everything that comes into this world comes in only with potential. And that potential is enfolded in this world. Not like a world like the sun and the moon, where there it does not come in a potential, it comes in the way it's going to be all of the time, full grown. So because this world has the nature of growth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it the nature of growth, therefore it's possible, Maisim Tovim, it's possible deeds, that a person will come into this world being a very small man, and he'll leave this world being a very great man, because he will have produced, not that he'll have produced money, not that he'll have produced land, or not even that he'll have produced children. He'll have produced fruits, like a great tree that produces fruits. What will be these fruits? Elu Maisim Tovim. These are his deeds. So it comes out that the Tana and Rabbi Yaakov is telling us something very, very, very important. He's saying that the two great undertakings of tshuva and ma'asim tovim is something which, not as a question that maybe in this world is a little more than the next world, a little less, is something which is peculiar only to this world and impossible in the next world. Because tshuva is change, and change can be only in this physical world, not in the next world, which is constant without change. And ma'asim tovim is growth, and growth can be only in this physical world, which is a world of growth, not in the next world, which is a world of stoppage. It's a world of where it's already, everything is already complete. Like on Shabbos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said enough, he said stop, and the world stopped growing. So how can there be there growth? So therefore now he's saying that this world is greater than the next world. Because in this world a man can come to tshuva, and a man can come to growth, while in the next world he cannot. So therefore, yofesh or achas b'tshuva ma'asim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chayei olam habo. Now, perhaps we'll ask a question. All right, this world has an aspect that the other world doesn't have, like we mentioned. But why should it make it greater? In this world, he does tshuva. He changes himself, and he improves himself, and he comes to a high level, and that's the level that he'll have in the next world. So therefore, why is this world greater than the next? In this world, he'll have all kind of wonderful deeds. So he'll grow into a great human being, a great individual, but that's how he'll walk into the next world. So what he'll have here, he'll have there. So why is this world greater than the next? In this, the Maral says something, a very great chidush. He says, no. He says, the level that a person will be striving for in this world will give him a higher level than he can have even on the next world after he's reached it. Why? He says, because striving for a mitzvah is a greater level than achieving the mitzvah. Okay? Striving for a mitzvah is a greater level than after he has achieved the mitzvah. He brings the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Rabbi Yesi says, Omer Rabbi Yesi, Yehei Chelki im Hameisim B'derech Mitzvah. Yesi says that I would like my portion, Yehei Chelki, I would like my portion to be with those who die on the way going to doing a mitzvah. In other words, like he was saying, if a person had a choice, who he would like to be with, who he would like to share reward with. She said, Yehei Chelki, I would like to share reward with those who die on the way traveling to do a mitzvah. In other words, a person who dies doing a mitzvah is a great schus. It's a great schus. She says, I would like to share reward with those people. Yehei Chelki, my portion should be with them. A question is asked, why did he say, Yehei Chelki, im, that my portion should be im ha'meisim derech mitzvah. Thank you. Why did he say yehei chelki im ha'meisim derech mitzvah? With those who die on the way doing a mitzvah. Why didn't he say, let my portion be with those who die, with those who die who have done mitzvahs? He says, That I would like my portion to be with those who die on the way doing a mitzvah. Why didn't he say with those who die who have done mitzvahs? Certainly, if you did the mitzvah, that's as good, if not better, than going to do the mitzvah. She says, no. He says, when a person is going to do a mitzvah, he's striving to do a mitzvah, at that point he's at a higher level than even after he has done the mitzvah. Why is this? Because once he has done the mitzvah, now he rests. See, the objective was fulfilled, destination achieved, so now you rest. Since he's resting, so he's not now striving to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. While before, when he was laboring to do the mitzvah, he was striving to go higher, striving to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he was at a higher level then than he is now. Whenever a person strives to do something, this brings him at a higher level than even after he's achieved it. This is what he says. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that I would like that my portion should be with those who die on the way to do a mitzvah. That's even greater than those who die after they've done the mitzvah. Naturally, if a person achieves one mitzvah and then immediately starts another mitzvah, all right, so then again, he's achieved one mitzvah and he's on the derech, he's on the way to do another. And the reason for this is, because when a person labors and he tries to reach a height, he is in a greater state. At that time, he is an ola. He is going up. He's a greater state than someone who has reached that level, or even he himself that has reached that level already, but is resting, where he is now stagnant, constant. This could be a reason why the Chazal tell us that we should always be careful to go immediately from one mitzvah to another. For example, it's brought on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Right after Yom Kippur, there's a custom, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, to start with the sukkah immediately. So we'll go mi-mitzvah le-mitzvah, mechayal el-choyal, from one level to a higher level. Or it's the custom that when we finish learning a mesechta, or we finish learning a certain amount, immediately we start the next. Why? Because in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the greatness of man where he can be constantly striving for further growth. And this is his nature. This is his need in this world, to constantly strive for further growth. If he's constantly striving for further growth, then he's at a very high level. He's very healthy. But if he reaches one rung and he rests, that's not for this world. Then he falls. It is the striving that brings the greatness in man, not the achieving. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, "Yehechel ki ma'amesim b'derech mitzvah." Those who died as they were going to do a mitzvah, rather than those who died after achieving a mitzvah. So now, the Tanna tells us something very special. He says, "This world is greater than the next world." Because in this world you could do tshuva. It's a world of change, and therefore it's possible to do tshuva that you cannot do in the next world, which is constant. In this world is growth, so therefore you can do ma'asim tovim. In the next world is constant, so you cannot do ma'asim tovim. Therefore this world is greater. But in the next world, you come into the next world after you've done the tshuva, after you've done the ma'asim tovim? No. The level of doing is greater than the level of the next world, which you have after you've done. Because here you are constantly striving for further growth that brings you to a higher level than even then. It comes out that this world has a level higher than the next world. And actually, people by nature feel this. They feel it. People by nature, if they listen to their nature, they know that they always must be doing something. They always must be seeking something. They always must be achieving. Many times the greatest source of depression to the nefesh, to the spirit of man, comes when he has stopped to achieve, when he has nothing to strive for anymore. Many times people who have reached, who have fought and battled to reach certain levels, to reach certain heights, have found that once they've reached it, there was the great elation of reaching it, but at the same time, the depression that they have reached it, so there's nothing further to strive for. There's the letdown. And they can't understand why. And this is the great sickness of retirement in this world. This world is not for retirement, because this world is a journey, and a journey, you can't retire in the middle of a journey. It's dangerous. You can't stop in the middle of a highway. You have to keep going, keep striving. And when people retire and all of a sudden they look, there's nothing less to strive for. There's nothing left to grow. Growth is not something that's choice. Growth was given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that to the individual where that's his very nature. And he must constantly strive for that growth. Ad Yom Meischo, until he dies. And the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, Maral brings, it says, Shuv Yom Echod Kedem Yisosko. Do tshuva right before your death. So the Gemara says, how do you know when you die? It says, therefore you should do tshuva every day. So he asks a good question. So why didn't he just say, do tshuva every day then? See? It says, do tshuva right before you die. The Gemara says, how do you know when you die? Therefore you should do tshuva every day. So why didn't he say that? Do tshuva every day. So he says, no, that's not the pshat. He's telling you you're supposed to do tshuva before you die. He's coming to teach that there's a special level of doing tshuva before you die. The reason why he says to do tshuva every day is because maybe you're going to die that day. So we see there's a special level of doing tshuva before you die. What is that level? That level is, he says, is the same level that Rabbi Yossi said. That even that when a person leaves this world, he should leave it in a state of aliyah. He should leave it in a state of striving for further heights. That's the greatest level a person can come to. In other words, that's just totally contrary to retirement. Retirement is that while he's still alive, he should stop. And here the Chazal is telling you that even at the instant of your death, you should still be growing. See, Shuv Yom Echod Kedem Yisosko. Or a person, the best brocha for a person is if he could die when he's striving to do a mitzvah. That means a whole life lived with growth. That even at the time of your death, you're still striving to improve yourself. So they asked him, but how do you know when you'll die? Also, for that reason, you have to do tshuva every day. See? So this is the nature of this world. And this brings you to a higher height than you can have in the next world. If that's the case, so what do we need the next world for? Now, there's a different aspect of the next world. The next world has something which this world doesn't have. And that is, when a person finally reaches his destination, there he can rest. Rest brings a tainug, an enjoyment to a person, which is she'ein kamayhu, which is something which the spirit can never experience in this world. The greatest tainug, the greatest joy that the spirit will ever experience is that of menucha, of rest. And that rest is impossible on this world, because this world is the derech, this world is the journey. And how can a person rest on the journey? Even if he rests on the journey, what kind of rest is it? It's a rest because he knows he has to rest a little, because soon he's got to get up and start traveling some more. That's not menucha. Menucha is when the job is finished. Totally, totally finished. All of the work is finished. All of the labor is finished. The growth is finished. You have come to the objective. That's the next world. And that's why that world is called the Elam HaMenucha. Wherever there's growth, this means changing from one level to another. Wherever there is journey, there is travel, that's contrary to menucha. The word menucha means noch, to stop. Menucha can be only after everything is finished. A little taste of that enjoyment is the Tainuk Shabbos that we have here. Because there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said everything is complete, so he rested. So we have a little of that on Shabbos, which is Me'ein Olam Haba. But that will be only in Olam Haba. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov tells us now. He says, what is in this world is not in the next. What is in the next is not here. In next, there's a Keres Ruach. He calls it a Keres Ruach. A Keres Ruach means a joy to the spirit. Because the main rest is what the spirit enjoys. Just like when a person is upset, his spirit becomes affected. It states, for example, by Paray, when he had the dream, Vati Poem Ruchai Bekirbay. His spirit was not at rest, was agitated. See, the main agitation that a person has is in the spirit. And therefore, the total enjoyment of rest is in the spirit. So that he says that Yofe Keres Ruach Be'ilam Habo, a Keres Ruach, a rest of the spirit in the next world, is greater mikol chayilam abozeh, is greater than all of the life in this world. Now notice he doesn't say it's greater than all of the menucha of this world or all of the keres ruach of this world. Because there is no menucha in this world. There is no keres ruach in this world. This is something which is only in the next world. So he says in the next world, the smallest amount of menucha, of peace in the next world, will be so perfect that it's greater than the entire this world. Because that doesn't exist in this world. Because Hayem La Seishe, this is the world of Asiya, to do, to work. The next world is the world for rest and peace. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov is telling us, Haskei Natsmecho Eilem Hazeh Deimel Apreister. This world is like an anteroom. Bifnei Eilem Habo, before the next world. This world is the journey, and the next world is the destination. Haskei Natsmecho Bepreister. Fix yourself up now, because the time to do the traveling is on the journey. When you reach your destination, there's no more place for travel. In order that you can enter the king's chambers. This world, which is a world of travel, of labor, of movement, of striving and growth, that's only in this world. It's not existent in the next world at all. Therefore, you can come to levels, and besides the fact that you can achieve in this world, which you'll have reward for in the next world, you can come to levels in this world that do not exist in the next world. The next world, which is the destination, where the person has completed his journey, not that he's resting from the journey. He's completed his journey. Totally. Total fullness. Total completion. Like Vayachal Elikim, Bayem Ashvi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished Kol Melachtoi, all of his work. Then comes a Keres Ruach, a perfect peace in Menucha that one cannot experience in this world, because there can be no perfect peace of Menucha on the journey. Well, B'chatzi Hayem, in the middle of the day, when the Maloch is Merubah, there's still so much to do. So therefore he's teaching us how to endear to ourselves both worlds and to realize the great importance of both worlds. That each world has something to offer us, that one, each one, what the other one cannot. And therefore he says, this one is greater when it comes to tshuva, maisim tovim, and the other is greater when it comes to keres ruach. Therefore, what we learn from here is how important a person must value life on this world, because the rest, the peace of the next world, is in accordance to what he achieves in this world. Misha torach be'erev Shabbos yechel b'Shabbos. See, he who labors erev Shabbos in this world, this is what he'll eat on Shabbos in the next world. How much he should value life and time and achievement and labor and constant growth all the way to the very end of his days, where the Gemara says, where Rabbi Yeshi says the greatest level is that someone should die while going to do a mitzvah. See? That means he grew, he never retired, he grew until his death. And from the other aspect, that many times we get depressed, we get discouraged, because we want some shalom and menucha. We want a little peace and a little quiet and a little enjoyment. So there he should realize that this is not the world for it. And even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give it to us here, we wouldn't be able to enjoy it. It's like someone offering you the greatest luxuries while you're traveling across the world. That is waiting for us in the next world. See, so therefore we shouldn't be discouraged if there are difficulties in this world, because all the time on the journey there's difficulties. But that is waiting for us at our destination. This is what we can learn from this Mishnah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.